During Memorial Day at Lowe's, shop household must-haves for less. Save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill to chef up something special. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep things fresh. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, after losing twins, a listener describes the ghostly visits that she and her parents experience. Also, a vivid dream comes to fruition for a mother. A child astral projects to visit a parent several states away, and could the ghost of a grandfather be the reason for a child to point and laugh at an empty chair? Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
Hello, and how are you today?
I'm okay. How are you?
You're angry at an iced tea maker, admit it.
I am pissed off. Yes.
Well, we got a new iced tea maker because we drink a lot of iced tea.
Mm-hmm.
And our old one is beginning to show some age. So it's like, well, maybe it's time to get a new one. And it seems to be brewing like a cup at a time.
Not even.
I don't know.
Like a quarter cup it spits out at a time.
It's espresso iced tea is what it's doing.
It's stupid. And it's such a disappointment. I was so excited. I'm so let down.
If Jenny had a baseball bat right now, there would be a broken iced tea maker in the kitchen.
Yeah. there would be.
Be a difficult return at that point.
Yeah. But so I had you come in and... and take a look before I lost my cool.
Maybe we can figure it out, although I think it might just be a dud.
I think it's a piece of shit.
Such hate for an iced... At least it's directed at an iced tea maker.
You don't get between a Southern girl and her iced tea. Mm-hmm. You just don't.
Because this sort of shit is what happens.
Yes.
So there you go. That's our show. Hope you have a great one. let's go into our first story today. 855-853-4802, of course, is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And we, of course, would love to hear them. Of course, you can write it on the website as well, realghoststoriesonline.com. Anonymous writes in, these stories are secondhand, but it is worth sharing. These are my wife's personal stories. A little background about her. She's 31 years old. She was raised in I'm going to screw up this city. Mestalan, Mexico?
I think so.
Mestalan? I'm not good at city names or people's names, for that matter.
I don't know.
All I can say is, there you go. I hope I'm right. It's not a religious and considers herself agnostic, does not believe in the supernatural at all. And I think she's traumatized by her experience and believes if it wasn't real, it didn't happen, and does not like sharing her stories. I have to beg her to share until she finally submits to peer pressure. She told me she was a child around 7 to 8 years old. She was with two of her friends, and she was stealing mangoes from the orchard that was near her school. After they jumped the fence, she looks up in the tree and sees a man hanging by the neck. The way she described him was he was old-fashioned, like wearing clothes from a long time ago. She said that he began talking to her group, but no words came from his mouth. But her and her friends heard it inside their heads. She said he was saying in Spanish, "Find the key." It turned to run, but one of her friends cannot move. She begins to get strangled and lifted off the ground and was suspended in the air like an invisible force was holding her. Her and her friends managed to pull her down and they run away. She said after the ordeal, her friend had marks on her neck. They told her family and her friend was Catholic and was really religious, and they thought she might be possessed. So she had to speak to the priest of her church. Nothing came from it, though. Fast forward 15 years, this happened a few months before I met her. She's now 21 and moved back to the United States and was living in El Paso. She was living with a friend and in a two-bedroom apartment. She explains it all started after her friend would go to work in the morning. She would wake up and the back door would be wide open. She asked him if he left it open, and he said no, and he left the back door locked when he left. The next day it happened again. So the same night before bed, they both go down there, lock the door, and move the couch in front of it. Next morning, her friend goes to work, and the same thing happens again. Back door is wide open, and the couch is moved out of the way. So that was the third time that happened. That same night, her and her friend decide to go get dinner from Chico's Tacos. She says when they left, they turned all the lights out, locked all the doors, and even put the couch back in front of the back door. When they returned, all the lights were on in the apartment. She said they were in the car watching from the parking lot, looking at the front window. The blinds were closed, and she said her and her friend saw a shadow pass by the window. They called the police after that. When El Paso police arrived, they entered the house and found no one inside. The back door was open as well, and they found no evidence of a break-in. So they went to bed and followed the same routine. Locked the doors, moved the couch in front. Her friend would get up in the morning and go to work. She woke the next morning after hearing a door open, and she figured it was her friend and might have forgotten something. She heard heavy footsteps coming up the stairs, like when someone stomps their feet. The footsteps approached her door and stopped. She said she got scared and turned on her side to face away from the door. She heard a bedroom door open and the footsteps approached her bed. She says it lay down next to her. She said it was heavy by the way it made the bed sink, and she could feel the warmth of its body. She said it was breathing heavily and it sounded like an animal. She described it as the way a horse breathes, the snorts, noise they make with their mouth. She also said she could feel its breath on her head, making her hair move. She said she was frozen with fear, kept her eyes closed, and did not move. After some time passed, got up, walked down the stairs, and left. She said it continued lying there for about 30 minutes. She got up and checked her friend's room, and no one was there. Went down the stairs, and the back door was open again. She called her friend, and he left hours ago to work and did not return. That was the last time the back door would be found open.
I think the cuddle ghost is just such a freaky thought.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that don't like to be bothered by somebody they care about while they're sleeping, let alone something that's not
visible. Their significant other? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing like a little cuddling from a ghost, though.
No.
That'd make you feel.
Even feel the heat from this one.
Yeah, I mean, if you're thinking it's real until you realize it's not, mm-hmm. that's disturbing.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of it goes back to, I mean, how accurate the assumptions were of a possession in her childhood to what was going on later in life, or if that was just kind of a oversimplification of things. I mean, not that a possession is simple, but meaning oh, it's either this or that, and one of them is possession and one of them is nothing. You know?
Yeah, I don't know about the possession part of it,
mm-hmm.
because I wouldn't think that's something that would go away on its own over time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm guessing this is someone who is just maybe followed by something mm-hmm. throughout their life, and then that's where it went.
Mm-hmm.
So, creepy story. Thank you for sharing that with us. A number, of course, 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Rachel writes in, I feel like sharing some comfort and thought I haven't shared a story before, and I hope it can help a listener or two. Background, in 2006, my husband and I lost twins. Only David made it far enough along to be stillborn. We later found out we couldn't have children. I'll spare the details, but it's fair to say I was devastated. There was a period of major depression. Eventually, my friends began to grow exhausted with how long it took to process these losses. And I wondered if I was losing my mind, if I was dwelling. Later, I discovered I actually have Asperger's, which explains a lot, given my neurological differences. I was fine with that reason for a while, but it occurred to me that our culture doesn't give anyone time to grieve. I'm not unique to loss because it's different for us all. We expect people to get back to normal, but is never going to happen. As if you're asking the bereaved to unlearn their life story. We grow, learn, hurt, and become wiser with experience. Now on with the story. Well, it's been years, and my life has progressed in ways I never saw coming 9 years ago. I'm back in school, as is my husband. We've moved across the country. It's gotten easier for me to see good in the world. Perhaps this is why I started getting visits from David at night. After he died, I got two cats, and they are my fur babies. I dote on them like Coco, the gorilla, dotes on her kittens after she lost her babies. All my other motherly instincts go into my nieces and the kids I'm in college with. It's tradition that the cat jumps in bed at night to cuddle. Pirate sleeps at the foot of the bed on my right side, while Oliver sleeps on my left, right by my face. They rarely sleep any other way. I'm not certain when the night visits began, and I haven't had one in a long time, but I do remember that I thought at first it was the cats. Basically, when they jump on the bed, they have very particular traits of how they carry themselves. I can usually tell which one it is on the bed, even if they don't sleep in the usual spot. This felt different. Less like claws and more like tiny hands climbing up the bed to settle between my husband and I. I never felt uncomfortable or scared. It would happen almost every night for years. It was a comfort. Part of me always thought it was in my bed. It was some kind of coping mechanism. For that reason, I never told anyone. I said it was the cat, even when I heard them in the other room or knew they were on the bed already. I thought it was my husband moving when I knew he wasn't. Sometimes I went straight to it being my imagination. However, there was always this less rational gut feeling that it was David. I felt it to be the truth, but would never have admitted it, much less share the story. It was my own private joy, but I learned the truth about a year ago. I was visiting my parents' home. It's a few hours' drive, so I was staying there for a few days, as I sometimes do. David was their first grandchild, so he comes up often. In our family, death is more common than in many families, so with less stigma and taboo surrounding death, we discuss people we've lost often and can tend to be positive about loss. My mom is really sensitive. She deals with the supernatural often enough that it doesn't surprise me when it comes up. On this particular day, I was sitting on the couch doing some homework, and my parents were talking about something, when seemingly out of nowhere, my mom says, with a bit of laugh, that perhaps David will visit again tonight. I look up to see my dad and her are looking at me with smiles and joy. They tell me quite excitedly how David comes to cuddle with him at night. He climbs up from the bottom of the bed, and they can tell it's not the cat. I'm the oldest of five kids, so I know she can tell the difference between the cat and a kid. They can feel his tiny hands crawling up between them and settling down to sleep. My jaw drops. It took everything in me to pretend I wasn't in shock. They were describing exactly what I'd been experiencing for years. I didn't tell them how I'd felt the same thing. For whatever reason, I kept that for myself. You're the first ones I've told this story to. I now no longer believe this to be my imagination, and I'm so grateful that David gets to cuddle and be a comfort for me and his grandparents. Perhaps my husband experiences the same thing. I'll find the right time to ask him someday. I hope my story does some good, and I'll be thinking of all the people having to celebrate holidays and other anniversaries far away from family, no matter the circumstances. It would mean so much if everyone else could honor the grief-stricken by caring for your loved ones in the ordinary ways which we could. Thank you, Rachel.
You know, this is one of those cases where getting something out in the open ended up helping a lot.
Sure.
You know, you wouldn't think that somebody saying, by the way, you know, your deceased baby is coming and visiting us at night.
Sure, because
would have any positive ramifications.
Yeah, I mean, because really depending on, and it probably really has a lot to do with who that statement is being said to. And,
yes.
And the mother, I'm sure, knows the daughter well enough to where making that statement knows it's not going to end in what the F, you know, and going into some crazy tirade. I think it was one of those things where it's a very paranormally open family.
Right.
Where it would be relatable and a positive thing.
And I think that's exactly what happened was, you know, by telling her, you know, then she was able to realize what she had been feeling was real. It wasn't just in her mind, and hopefully brings a comfort to her.
I would also beg to guess that Rachel's mother had some sort of inclination that this was something that she should share with her daughter, beyond just the fact that my daughter would probably be interested in hearing this and be open to it. I think there may be something there intuition-wise.
Yeah.
Knowing of, I need to share this with her.
Mm-hmm.
I need to comfort her, or I need to just let her know that this is going on for whatever reason. Just some, not necessarily that it's even in words in her mind of, I need to share this. Just a feeling of, this is going to come out.
Right.
If you will. So very, very good story. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I think that's one of those cool things about the show is when we can share a story like that, or someone shares their story with us to share like that, that there are, you know, literally tens of thousands of people who listen to this thing. And I'm sure within those groups, there's going to be those few that are going to hear that and really make a connection and find some comfort in that story. So thank you for sharing that with us. The number, of course, if you want to share your ghost story, 855-853-4802, or you can always write in on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, and click tell us your ghost story. Jasmine writes into us, I've been listening to y'all's stories for quite a while now, and myself have been tempted to share my own, but wasn't sure how to go about it, if I should at all. But finally, I've given in, so here goes. Please excuse if some things don't make sense or sound weird, but believe me, I still can't make sense of all this. Or maybe it's just my broken heart. Anyways, my name is Jasmine. I'm a 24-year-old person, and at one point, a mother to such an amazing, smart, and loving 6-year-old boy, whom we will call Elijah. When I was pregnant with Elijah, I was only 15 years old. As any other teenager, I wasn't ready for a baby, but once he was born, he had changed my life forever. Not only was he my rock, but my world entirely, and I just couldn't see myself without him. My life took a wrong turn, and Elijah ended up having to live with his father when he turned 4. Since I wasn't from the U.S. and an immigrant, I felt such a weakness when it came to taking my son's father to court due to the fact that, well, I had struggled to find a job and wasn't a citizen. I guess you can say I was scared that they would find me unsuitable or unfit to care for my son and wouldn't let me see him. So I left it at that. As the years went by, Elijah's father allowed me to see him every other weekend and so on. His father and I had an okay relationship, but when he wasn't feeling generous, would have a fit and not let me see my son. I'd always brush it off as, oh, he's just having a bad day, and would wait for him to cool off so we could talk things out as adults. Anyway, November went by, and he would seem to make up an excuse as to why I couldn't have my son for the weekend. Then came December, and 2 months with no word about my baby. I remember going to bed on the night before his birthday, all sad and depressed that I didn't get to see him, that I slept with his favorite stuffed monkey next to me. When I finally managed to fall asleep, I had such an odd, morbid dream. It was all over the place, but in that dream, I could see my cousin Brian, who died 9 years ago, and my son playing together in a creek. In my dream, Brian came and sat next to me as we watched Elijah play, and he said, "Nobody will ever love you as much as he does. But don't worry, he's okay now." I looked into Brian's eyes and started to cry, asking, "What do you mean by that?" Next thing I know, we're back in my room, and my son Elijah is sitting right at the edge of my bed, reaching out to his stuffed monkey and saying, "He's my favorite, because he smells like you, Mommy." And for the rest of my dream, it was just him and I holding hands, looking at the most beautiful sunset. The world just seemed to be still. The last thing I remember is Elijah holding up a peace sign with his fingers and saying, "Remember, Mom, 22, and blowing me a kiss before I woke up. I remember waking up all sweaty, upset, and crying, holding on to my boyfriend as I told him about my dream. That morning, I had gotten news that my baby had passed away. We had such a wonderful funeral for him and decided to bury him next to the creek where he loved to play and swim. A few days later, I started to hear his bed in my room move about as if there was someone moving around in it. I'd organize his stuffed teddies in his bed, but when I got home from work, all his stuffed animals would be messy. It spooked me at first because it was just myself living in the apartment. Then one night, I came home to the TV in my room and it was set to Animal Planet. Elijah always liked falling asleep to Animal Planet. It was then when I realized that my baby was still around. Writing this brings tears to my eyes, but I know that no matter what, he will always be around, especially to give me my goodnight kisses, as he had done when he was around. Every night when I'm lying down for bed, I feel a cool breeze around my forehead, and I believe that my darling boy is kissing me goodnight. Thank you for sharing my story. I hope it makes some sort of sense. I forgot to say, my English is not that great. Anyway, I love you guys and keep up the good work.
I thought English was just fine.
I thought it was very good.
That is, you know, I didn't pick to have all the saddest stories ever.
It's depressing day
in
Real Ghost Stories
show.
Online.
No, it just came in. It just came in. And, you know, honestly, I was looking at the date and it, you know, the dates are Christmas
sure.
Eve and Christmas Day that these stories actually came to us. Mm-hmm. So I felt like, okay, because they're all happening at once, we're meant to tell them all together.
Yeah, and you know, it kind of makes sense because I bet, you know, just writing these stories out and getting this out, you know, is a form of coping, almost therapeutic, mm-hmm. you know. So I'm not surprised that there is a bulk of stories around Christmas that were sent in of this nature.
Sure.
People sitting there thinking about the loved ones that have passed on. So by being able to get these out, you know, I hope it has helped them, you know, work through some of this stuff. Obviously comforting in itself here, just to hear her story of that she still hears from him, in, you know, mm-hmm. so to speak, not necessarily, you know, literally hearing from
yeah.
him, but able to have that interaction and still being able to have that that there.
Mm-hmm.
So very interesting story. And thank you for sharing that with us. As we continue on with Depressing Day at Real Ghost Stories, we should just, instead of naming this episode of Mother's Tuition, it just be, "If you want to cry, ...
Okay.
I'm kidding. Now, these, I mean, they are very good stories.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's one of those things where we can't control how these stories come in.
No.
You know, it's just, this is how it works, and we just kind of go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm just teasing you.
Okay.
So, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Some days we have the stories where it's like completely silly.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, just, I guess we just go with the waves of our listeners, really. Priscilla writes in, "I grew up in a community just east of Houston, Texas, and spent my entire childhood in a two-story home with my older sister and parents. We were the only people that ever lived in the home at the time, as it was newly built when we moved in. I remember one night when I was 10 years old, I was in my room watching TV, and I was the only person upstairs, or so I thought. I went downstairs and heard my father and sister in the study, which is right next to the bottom of the stairs, and they looked at me in shock when I got to the bottom of the stairs. I was not sure what was going on, so I asked what was wrong, and my sister told me that about a minute before I went downstairs, she and my father saw a little girl about my age go down the stairs and take a left to the living room. My sister said that she and my father both saw the girl plain as day, She was in a white gown from what looked to be from another century. They could not see her feet, and she seemed to be floating. This freaked me out because I realized that the little girl was upstairs with me. This incident really stuck with me, as I was unsure as to why there would be a ghost in a home that was only lived in by my family. We know family members that had passed away, especially not as children. Fast forward a few years, I decided to look into the history of the area. I found out that a major part of my neighborhood was the land of a family that lived in the area about a century before, and of course, most of the family members lived and died on the land. I noticed that there was a little girl in the family, but I could not find out what year she died or if she was buried on the land. I told my mom about what I had found out about the area, and while I was taking the curtains across the room, they fell straight down. This was strange, as a curtain rod did not fall, only the curtain that was securely placed on the rod. We cannot wrap our heads around how the curtain fell, as it would be impossible unless someone forcibly pulled the curtain. My mother, who is not a believer in the paranormal, immediately told me to stop looking into the history of the area, and she was genuinely shocked at what had happened. Needless to say, I stopped looking into the history of the area. Thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, I wouldn't look any further either when you find out they all died there.
I was, before we even got to that point, she's like, "What? Why is this happening? No one lived." I'm like, there was probably another house there, or a farmstead or something. And sure enough.
Yeah.
That's usually, you know, a lot of times that seems to be what people think. You're like, well, it's a new house. And you're like, well, there's other people who have been in a lot of places before the buildings that we currently reside in existed. And yeah, a lot of people buried in a lot of neighborhoods.
Oh, sure.
That we don't know about. You know, it's like pets. You know, in a certain way, once it gets to be so far down the line, you know, somebody's old farmstead, for example. I mean, just think of that. You know, there's so many old farmsteads that are no longer in existence all around cities, you know, especially cities that have expanded over the years, where the city just used to be this little core, and then it slowly grows and grows and grows and grows, and all the farmsteads get pushed out and, you know, build up around. And sometimes those farmsteads have no one living in them anymore, family members who have moved on or passed away and may not have knowledge of the family members that passed away and were in fact buried on the property.
Right.
At some point or another. And it's not out of disrespect or anything. It's just a fact of people spreading out.
Sure.
And moving away and people passing on without knowledge of certain things. And I would tend to imagine there's a lot of dead bodies buried around cities that we have no idea where they are just because of the development and the land and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think, you know, sometimes may, if that is indeed a connection where a body is, where a ghost is going to be, where some of these things would make sense, just like that, where maybe they're there.
Well, I think about it too, in our neck of the woods. You know, there was a lot of trails that came through here. Pioneers heading west to settle new lands, or the cowboys coming up with the cattle to put on the trains.
I mean,
that's where I-35, you know, that sits right along the Chisholm Trail and comes straight up from Texas. And I just think, you know, what did they do with the people that died along the way? They just buried them where they were.
Mm-hmm.
So there's got to be all kinds of graves along where all those trails were.
Sure. Well, and another thing, too, I mean, not just, I mean, a lot of the trails ended up being turned into roadways at some point or another. Some of them also, some of the more remote ones have been, you know, either they became rail lines or things of that nature. And sometimes if you have one that may have been a rail line after it was a trail and then at some point abandoned and taken down, sometimes those now are hiking paths.
Right.
Literally, back to being a human trail, if you will. No more buggies on them, but people and bikes and all of that. Do you ever, when you know factually that this, oh, this is part of X trail or X pathway, do you ever get weirded out, or do you ever think of that when you just go for a hike in the woods on one of those trails and think, huh, because you're going to have that along those trails too?
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever been on one that was turned back into a path from having been a major, mm-hmm. majorly traveled trail 100 years ago.
Sure.
You know, that's a different thing. So, no, I haven't really thought of it. I do think about, you know, what it was like driving cattle when I'm making the trip from Dallas back home. But
sure.
I don't know. That's just really weird to think about.
Yeah, I have to wonder sometimes about some of those kind of off, because, I mean, there's, of course, the major trails, but there was also shoot-offs, too.
Oh, sure.
You know, that went, and some of those, you know, have, you know, either became roadways or just nothing over time and mm-hmm. just grown over. But some of that's really creepy. Some of the photos that I've seen online that some folks have sent us, there's a lot of, as roadways have expanded and interstates have gotten larger and such over the years, there's areas of the country where there's been fairly large interstates, if you will, or highways that have just been shut off. And for the new one that was more efficient that was developed, and then the old one just sits off, like if it went through the woods, maybe it was like a two-lane, fairly well-traveled
yeah.
road.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you know, we'd be more efficient if we actually make a diagonal and about 4 miles this way.
Mm-hmm.
And then that old road has no purpose anymore. And the state has no real reason to keep it up. It's just an expense. So they just shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
And you no longer can travel on those roads. But there's a lot of explorers and urban explorers, if you will, that go out there and they take pictures on these desolate, abandoned roadways. And it looks like something straight out of The Walking Dead.
Those have got to be great.
Oh, and there's like sometimes overpasses and such that are just like in there in the woods. And it's a somewhat modern decay.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's weird because when we think of sometimes these old bridges, and we've went and scouted some of those out
yeah.
around here that they're, you know, those would be literally from trails,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're out there in the country a little ways, not too far from the city. And it's old. Is it limestone?
Yeah, the limestone. I don't think they're quite as old as the trails.
Sure.
But they go back to at least the 20s.
Sure.
Yeah.
And these are old limestone bridges and such that at one point in time, fairly well-traveled roads because
yeah.
it was all there was. And now it's only who lives out there for the most part and the sightseer who's
sure.
going and scouting these old bridges out to take pictures. And you look at that and go, oh, these are just so old-looking and, you know, kind of spooky but really neat and,
mm-hmm.
and the architecture of them. And that's what you think of when you think of, you know, old abandoned road decay. And now we have a more modern version of this where it's like, oh, these are roads that were built in like the 60s or 70s,
mm-hmm.
and they look like a modern overpass, but now it's completely grown over and trees are beginning to come back to the concrete. It's just, it's weird. It makes me think of just the perspective of, you know, our kids or grandkids going to go look at some of these someday that are out there like, oh, look how old these are.
I don't think our kids or our grandkids are going to be near as dorky as we are.
Oh, come on. Give it a chance.
Let's hope not.
It's just interesting, the perspective of it and how creepy some of that stuff can be.
Right.
But I love those pictures. Megan writes in, hey guys, let me start by saying I absolutely love the show, although it does terrify me also. This is a shorter story and not necessarily a ghost story. However, I would classify it as paranormal. I should start by saying my parents divorced when I was a young child, 2 years old. My mother lived in Louisiana and my father lived in Wisconsin. During the school year, I resided with my father, and during the summer months, I would reside with my mother. When I was in third or fourth grade, I was playing on the playground at school on the monkey bars. I fell, broke my arm pretty badly. I won't gross you out with all the gory details. I will just tell you, it did require hours of surgery, as this was not just the average bone break. This was a time before cell phones, so as my father brought me to the hospital and was waiting for me to be finished with surgery, he was not able to contact anybody yet to inform them what had happened. I should tell you, as a part of the surgery, I was put to sleep. Far across the country, in Louisiana, my mother was sleeping when she got the odd feeling of somebody staring at her. She woke up to see me standing in the doorway. She called my name, but I did not say anything, and then I was gone. When my father and I finally arrived home, he called my mother to tell her I had broken my arm, but that I was okay. Before I could get his first word out, my mother said, "What happened to Megan?" "Just a spooky story I thought you may enjoy. Astral projection, maybe?" Anyway, love the show. Keep up the good work.
I think it's a combination of that. And, you know, when you're going through something like that and you're hurt, you usually want whatever parent is not around just because that's how luck would have it.
Sure.
And it may have just been her wanting her mom to the point that the mom picked up on that.
Mm-hmm. It's just that connection that is there.
Right.
That really can't be explained, but is so often exclaimed. Huh?
That's
like that?
Cute.
There you go.
Okey-dokey.
A little rhyme of the day.
Yay.
You can put that on a coffee cup.
I will get right on that.
Donnie writes in, how the hell you guys doing? This is Donnie from Auburn, Maine, and a story I'd like to share which takes place when I was in fourth through sixth grade. I'll start by saying when I was maybe three or four, my parents got a divorce, and me and my older sister lived with my dad full time, with my mother's every other weekend. So move along a few years, and three of us moved to a nice-looking duplex in New Auburn on 2nd Street. One half of the duplex was ours, and the other half belonged to an older lady that would give you 50 cents for shoveling the driveway. Like, come on, lady, really? But anyways, so we moved into this duplex, and it always seemed dark and sad there. The weird occurrences started right away the second night we were there. Sounds as though someone was walking in the hallway on the second floor that connected all the bedrooms. If you walked up the stairs, you would have my dad's room on the right. The next door over was mine, and then the last door was my sister's. I hated being up there alone. I used to dread going to bed every night. On more than one occurrence, my bed would shake. That in itself was enough to make me throw my covers over my head and wait for it to stop. I remember one time I was lying in bed and this began to happen, and I heard what I believe was my name in a raspy smoker's voice. I ran and laid on my sister's floor and tried to sleep, but I couldn't, and I could hear someone in my room, and it sounded like they were sitting on my bed and then getting up and pacing in my room. So this would go on just about every night. It got to the point where my dad and sister wouldn't let me sleep in their rooms anymore, and my dad told me there was nothing to be scared of. But eventually, my sister began to experience things too. She told me her and my friend were up in my sister's room talking when her karaoke machine started playing what sounded like circus music. The worst experience happened one night during the ice storm of 1998. We were without power for a little over 2 weeks, but we had a fireplace for heat and to cook on. As you can imagine, my room was even dark one of those cold, dark nights. It happened. It decided to show itself to me and my cousin Jake. We both sat up from the dead sleep to what we thought was a cowboy in my room with red eyes, just staring at us from my doorway. As he turned around, it slammed the door to my room. We both flipped our shit, and my dad came running in to find us scared, shitless. A couple weeks later, the lady next door was found dead on her bedroom floor from what I was told was a heart attack. A while after that, we moved, thank God. Sorry, my story was so damn long. I have a few other creepy stories. One where I was doing a repo on a man who passed away, and I repossessed his car, and some freaky stuff began to happen. Anyways, I'll shut up now. Love the show. Keep up the good work.
I want to hear the repossessed car ghost story, too.
That would be a good one.
I wonder if the old lady saw the same thing they did, and that's why she had her heart attack.
Makes you wonder
mm-hmm.
about things like that. And how long were these things going on for?
Right.
In a home like that. Great story. Thanks for sharing. I do want to hear the read. That's an interesting. I don't know that we've had one like that. That's like, that would be like an original.
Uh-huh.
As far as settings and what's going on and all the. So please, yes, share. I get excited about those things. I mean, not that, I mean, we've had so many stories into the show and we want to hear all of them. But when you can get like a new premise sometimes, that's just kind of exciting.
Yes.
You know, so thank you for sharing that with us. And please do write in the other story. Carla writes in today, hi, Tony and Jenny. I called earlier in the month regarding my son and his passing into the light. At that time, I said I had never had any other paranormal experiences other than the ones I've experienced since his death, with the exception of dabbling with a Ouija board in high school. I'll share that another time. Though I have to say, while interesting, it was not nearly as terrifying as most of the stories I've heard shared here. I hear a lot of talk on the show of sleep paralysis, and I've experienced it more than a few times in my life. The incident I'd like to speak about occurred in the early 90s while living alone. I work on Saturday night and early Sunday morning, unable to move, or I woke unable to move. I don't remember it was as though something dark and heavy was pinning me to the bed. No conversation took place aloud, but I told whatever it was to get off me. I remember it telling me there was nothing I could do to make it go away, but in our psychic conversation, I told it that I could pray. It laughed and told me that would do no good. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I let it know it was lying, and I began to ask God to make it leave. It quickly disappeared, and I was left with a racing heart and terrified to go back to sleep. I went to church in the morning and relayed my experience to the pastor, but he dismissed it. He and most of the people knew I had no truce for the paranormal. If you don't mind, I'll share a quick story about my father. He passed away when I was 7. He owned his own business and would deposit his earnings at the bank every day and bring his empty bank bag home. When he came home every afternoon, he would reach down and give me a hug and kiss while holding the bank bag. The bag smelled of used bills. I don't know if you know what that smell is like, but it's very distinctive. I've always associated that smell with him. About 16 years ago, I'd gone out with my small daughter to buy groceries. When I returned and opened the door, the condo was filled with that scent. It was so overpowering that I called out to him. Nothing happened. But I'm convinced he was there. Thank you for taking the time to read this. I'm sorry if I rambled on.
I think it's so interesting, the scent, that if they get to choose, and who knows if they get to choose, but the scent that I guess they pick to make you know exactly who it is, you know, like the money, but or the smell of money. But sometimes, you know, there's other smells that are just so unique, like the tangerine farts a while back. Remember that one?
Yeah.
So
I would go with new car smell.
Really?
I don't know why, because my car never smells of new car smell. It smells more like old Taco Bell and
it does.
And whatever else happens to be sitting in the... Oh, is that ranch? Yes, it's aging ranch, finely aging ranch from the salad box in the backseat. So that would be... And my dad's truck always smelled of old salads and Taco Bell. And then I smelled him one night.
Okay, now I want Taco Bell for dinner.
Well, we could if you want. Mark writes in, "Hi, guys. I'm a new listener from Devon in the UK. Loving the show and can't wait to hear more. I'm going to tell all my friends about you and hopefully grow your UK audience. I'm not prone to allowing my imagination to run away with me, not now or as a child. If anything, I look at things scientifically and try to find logical reasons for happenings. I work as an ECA, which is like your EMT or paramedic. I have numerous stories I could share with you over many years from when I was a child right up to today, if you're interested. This particular story is more about my daughter. We've moved to Devon in 1999, shortly after my mother had died. My father came to live with us, and he was in poor health. Shortly before my daughter was born, my father collapsed at home, and I successfully resuscitated him, but unfortunately, he died a week later in the hospital. A couple of years later, it was bright, sunny, when my wife and I were sitting in the lounge watching our daughter play on the floor with her teddies. She suddenly stopped playing and looked up sharply towards the armchair at the other end of the room. In a panic, she jumped to her feet and ran over to us with her eyes fixed on the armchair. She was babbling something which I couldn't understand without taking her eyes off the chair. After a few minutes, she calmed down and went back to playing with the teddies. Suddenly, the same thing happened again. As before, she ran back to us, fixated with the armchair. Once she calmed down without talking or taking her eyes off the chair, she started giggling and pointing towards the armchair. And I said to her, "What are you looking at?" She stopped giggling, pointed towards the armchair and said, "Granddad." I looked at my wife and we were both shocked. As far as we were concerned, our daughter didn't even know the word, granddad. My daughter then seemed to be interacting with someone sitting in the armchair, with her laughing and making hand gestures in that direction. After some time, she stopped, ran over to the armchair, climbed on the seat, and looked out the window towards the front door. I went over to see what she was staring at, and she pointed out the window towards the door and said, "Nanny and granddad." She then went back to playing with the teddies as though nothing had happened. Great show, guys. Thank you. Mark.
I think that's about as clear cut as you get.
What do you think happened there? Well, she saw grandpa and grandma.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other real reason. I mean, there's no sibling there putting her up to go say this, you know. Sure. You know, it's just when it's natural and organic like that, and they're that young before they're going to start pulling stuff on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that it is what it is.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Huh.
Look yeah.
at that. Finishing each other's sentences.
It's like we've known each other for so long.
It's like we're married or something.
I know.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. What are you going to get at Taco Bell?
I want one of those quesadillas, the chicken quesadillas.
The quesadillas?
With the like spicy ranch stuff in it.
Those are delicious.
That's what I want now.
Those are bursting with country fresh flavor. They really are. Hi.
Yes, my name is Matthew Hickman. I live in Millsboro, Delaware. Been listening to your show for the last weekend that we've been snowed in, and it's been fun, and I've actually fallen asleep to it, which I don't suggest in any way. But anyway, it reminded me, your show reminded me of what happened to my parents in the first house that they moved into. Now, the first thing was they noticed that in their living room adjacent to where the telephone was, there was always a cold spot around the telephone. Another thing, too, was that at the time that they were living in this house, my mother was pregnant with my sister, and she would always take a nap in the afternoon in this back room where they had this bed set up for her. And once in a while, it didn't happen often, but she would either be like a feeling like she was being tugged off of the bed, or the bed would shake, and these are just a lot of things that I'm trying to get in because there's so much. Another thing, the big one that I'm trying to get to here is one night my father had come home, and my mother said that she had to go out to the local store to get some things for dinner, and that she'd be back in about a half hour or so. Well, my dad decides to kick back on the couch and watch TV. Well, he kind of dozes off, he wakes up, and he doesn't open his eyes yet, and he thought he heard my mom pull up in the driveway, and he's like, well, I'm going to try and scare her. So he hears this noise like someone's walking in the room toward him, and the end of the couch where he had his head laying, he could sense that there was somebody there leaning over him and watching him like face to face. And he was feeling breath on his face, like someone was actually breathing on him. And my father at the time, he thought, well, I got my wife now, I got her. So he yells out, boo! Like, and to his astonishment, that he was just shocked, and he opened his eyes and nothing was there. And the very same time that he does this, he looks out the very window, and he sees my mom pulling in the driveway. And my daddy has passed away now, but when he was telling me, he said that was probably the scariest I've ever been. And my dad wasn't always a big skeptic when it comes to ghosts. And when they were moving, come to find out that their neighbors across the street knew the previous family. And come to find out that previous family had died from the story was that they had died from exposure to gas or carbon monoxide, something of that sort, and that the gentleman that that was living in the house at the time, he had, when they found him, he was in front of the telephone with the receiver in his hand, like he had tried to reach out and call for the ambulance or something, but then I guess the fumes or whatever it was had got to him, and he unfortunately died. And as for the woman that lived there, that was in the room where my mother was sleeping, she actually was in the same predicament. she would woke up and found that you're probably dying from this exposure to gas, and then she fell out of the bed, and I guess in that process it moved the bed somehow or whatever. But every time that my parents would talk about this, and it was kind of freaky. And to this day, the house is not there anymore. The house was torn down, but there is a new house that was built on top of the property, or of course it would be on top of the property. But anyway, it was to this day. I mean, it was probably the scariest thing that I had ever heard. And so, thank you guys for listening to my story, and I hope to call you guys again, because I have other ones. My personal experience with it. So good luck with the show, guys, and you're going to be a future EPP in a couple weeks. So good luck, guys, and see you next time.
I guess the joke's on Dad there.
Yeah, I think so. And I think sometimes it's good to not know the details of how the previous owners all died in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, down to the guy died with the phone in his hand.
Sure.
That's just something you can't unhear.
Yeah, the great details. I'm glad it ended there and it didn't go into how the pets ended up finding them. No, I'm
eating
kidding.
Their face.
That would be horrible.
Yep.
I don't think the pets would make it through that either. Nothing would make it through that either. It kind of makes you wonder, though. I mean, when something like that happens, did the ghost know that it'd be a good idea not to scare the wife, or was the ghost just doing its thing and this all just kind of transpired together? Was there a reason is kind of what I'm getting at.
I don't know. I didn't think of it that way.
You know, you kind of wonder almost, because mm-hmm. sometimes it's like, well, if he gets his little, jollies out of scaring me, it will prevent the wife from having a heart attack or, pulling out a gun out of her purse that he didn't know that she had.
Yeah.
And, making this all end very tragically. I don't know. The intent is what I wonder about there with the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
But very interesting story. Stories like that, I mean, those are just freaky. I mean, the original house story, mm-hmm. Where, tragic, horrible things like that happen. There was a house not too far from where I grew up. Luckily, the owners were not home at the time. But it was one of those deals where the gas built up and the house blew up.
Oh, wow.
And you hear about that happening every mm-hmm. now and then. It hits a little closer to home when you know the house pretty well and you could hear the boom from where you live.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was in that little neighborhood that I go walk around in back of my parents' house mm-hmm. in Wisconsin. And I think I lived in the area at the time, because I remember I went after it happened. I didn't live at their house. I was out of high school. But I remember I was close enough and it was recent enough where I was able to go drive by.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, there's nothing left of that house. I mean, if there was anyone in there, it would not be good news.
No.
But things like that are just, that's why it's a good thing to have those gas detectors in your home. Everybody gets, the smoke detectors.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth paying the extra $5 and go get the carbon monoxide detector or the gas detector that's going to let you know if that shit's going down.
Definitely.
Because that, it'll prevent you from having to be part of a story like this in a future episode. Look at it that way.
Yeah.
There you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to help us stay on the air, please consider becoming an EPP. And you do more than just helping us stay on the air. You get a bunch of bonuses as well. All those bonus episodes, nearly 80 of them now, jam-packed with some awesome, awesome stories. The best ones that we get and go on those. Also, exclusive bonus video content as well are episodes of Seeing Ghosts, Spirits in the Air, and more. So check it out. Real Ghost StoriesOnline.com. Click become an EPP. $5 a month is all we ask, and you keep this thing online. Hence, Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yeah.
Eventually, if we didn't get support, it would be Real Ghost Stories Offline, and we'd just be sharing these stories with our pets. So please support the show. The dog hates ghost stories. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.